Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Monday evening, morning, night, whichever it may be for you. And this is the Garden of Enlightenment with Louie Wildove. Unfortunately, Louie Wildove is under the weather and won't be able to host the show. So I, Gray Eye Smith, will be doing that for her. And tonight's show is brought to you by Late Night Poets. It's a group on allpoetry.com. And we have anthologies available on Amazon.com filled with poetry from poets around the world. So feel free to check those out and help support these shows. Tonight's show is based on poems from the blanket permission list, as well as some open poetry. So I'm looking forward to a good night here. And I hope you're all having a great night as well. Okay, here we go. I'm going to grab the first poem here. Post that into the group. There we go. And this is called Black Sock by Adults 7881. Black Sock. I passed you in the hall, limp and wrinkled, out of place, out in the sunlight, abandoned shadow on bright tiles. in the rebellion on the floor. Threadbare face, smiling Argyle, as I place you in the basket, oily sock, a woolen pirate, although I've never seen your mate. After your detergent baptism and the inferno of the dryer, I pull through the scented pile, but now you're nowhere to be found. Some days later, bare toes touch you when I walk into my closet. The static attack surprised me, such aggressive polyester. Taken aback by a hostile fabric, so I poked you with a curtain rod held high, soiled banner in retreat, laid to rest outside in a waste collection casket. Now victorious, unafraid, I walked barefoot through my house, enjoyed the air between my toes, no longer hidden from a sock, my soul tubular assailant. Days go by, and I forgot about the gaping hole of your open stare, watching with ranks of just dust bunnies from underneath my bed. Then one night, in cooling autumn, I pulled high my duvet and warmly snuggled against the dreams to come, but something felt strange. My left foot had creepy crawlies, a too-hot, tightening sensation. It scared the dreams away with scratching. So I threw the covers back, and I saw upon my leg, now pulled up high and tight and climbing, inching up with Lamprey's kiss, you, black sock, like oily snakeskin, eating until I was in you, and the clock ticked on, alone. Written for a contest about a haunted item. Well, that was fascinating. I really liked the masterful wordplay in here. After your detergent baptism and the inferno of the dryer, I pull through the scented pile, but now you're nowhere to be found. You can just see the sock disappearing like a magic trick. Excellent, right, Adidas? And I thought it was just beautiful. Well done. Okay, I'm going to check the board here and see if we have any callers. We do. Hello, Pam Ray. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Gray. How's it going?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. I heard you read a line about something to do with dust bunnies under the bed, and I thought, oh, no, Gray's doing his show underneath my bed. I'm going to have to check that out. But, yeah, I'm doing great. Wonderful read there. I didn't hear the whole thing. But I do like how creative this writes. With the idea of a haunted sock and the reference to how the sock is very relatable. You know, clever lines like, my soul assailant. It's so ridiculous, the idea of a haunted sock, that it's both dark and humorous at the same time. Oh, yeah, and lamprey's kiss. Now, that's a phrase to give you the heebie-jeebies, because those lampreys, they're just creepy looking.
Yeah, they are. Great comment. Thank you, Pam. Okay, I'm posting the next one up, if you wouldn't mind, please, Pam.
Absolutely. I'd be happy to. Let me just go ahead and get back to Late Night Poet. And all right. Up next, we have White Daffodil of Bolivia by Jared A. Harris, and it goes like this. Imagine Heidi Klum in the wild of night's open fire. Passions finally bloom when a smile was polite, awoken desire. Liars of an early wound sails, portraits of our union. Prior love can girly assume female is important because flower ruined. Details of being with this male held me weak for days. No sleep, hell, love needs its sails of free speech in more ways than one, hun. Reach within your heart and see if I'm worth it done. With creeps missing mature parts of a woman we kiss behind worse hick. Shit, if it ain't fair, losing my all to a coward in words. Forget, can't bear, choosing why the tall, true may devour slim curves. Hers ain't the pleasant life. I want to cuddle with relations, pillow, disturbed, complaint, hesitant, advice, why wonder in troubles. His situation is brittle. Tickle your ear and massage your neck. He's a long way coming. Tickle me a more sincere hand, God secured that she stays among days slumming. Something ain't right about you and me. What happens? Nothing explained except without who can feel free lux, saddened daffodil of Bolivia. And poem.
Beautiful read, Pam. But that was cryptic and metaphoric throughout. Details of being with this male held me weak for days. No sleep. Hell loves needing its sale of free speech in more ways than one. It's very complex and deep, right? Fascinating, though. What did you think, Pam?
I did find it fascinating. And I sometimes, you know, have trouble interpreting Darren's poetry, though I do like it. It has a nice rhythm and very strong imagery. The general idea I get from this is how too often up in relationships with people who don't appreciate the true essence of ourselves. I feel like there's this sense of lack of appreciation for the deeper part of the person. There's just like you said throughout, really it's thought-provoking. I get the general idea of the idea of how humanity misuses, sexuality and sensuality to hurt people, and trying to get away from it, but in the end just ending up feeling sad. So excellent write and very well done.
Thank you for that detailed and descriptive comment, Pam. I appreciate it. Okay, I'm going to post the next poem up.
You do have somebody waiting.
Oh, I do. Okay, great. Thank you.
Hello.
Hello, area code 804. Is that you, Sawa?
Yes, me. Hello. Hello, great Pam. How are you? I don't know who's there else in the room, but I heard
Hi,
both of you.
Good to hear you.
Hi, Pam. Yeah, I heard you comment your poem. It's amazing. I agree with you completely. So, how are you doing, everyone?
I'm good, thank you. And how was your holiday?
Quiet and resting. So
that's good sometimes.
Yes, yeah, so nice to do it. So it was really good. Thank you for asking.
You bet. Nice to have you.
How about yours? You both of you. I hope you had a good one. All of you.
Absolutely, I did. And I appreciate you calling in, though. Thank you.
My pleasure.
I've got the next poem up here, and I don't know. Do you want to give that a read, Sawa?
That's fine. I can try to do that. Her punctured bangs carry my wounds by Shamit Akalanka, and my stars, a smoking bird, let go, star bright upon her shoulder proud, as the lake of unprecedented dreams, the soul, the torrent, a revel, the first hour of light, down the tunnel. The tunnel became her shriful, dawn, my feet roam, open vague black, lined with mercenary sand, come, though I have come to know the deep value in high walls. Upon her return, with festive jubilation met, like an arrow facing east, the glow in my eyes remain, undiminished and deformed.
Thank you for that wonderful read, Sawa. This is a touching poem. You can feel the loss and the love that he has for this person. With lines like, her soil torments, torrents unravel the first hour of light down the tunnel. The tunnel became archery school. Dawn, my feet roam, open, vague, black lined with mercenary sand, come. Though I have come to know the deep value in high walls. Just fascinating, right? What did you think, Pam?
I have to agree with you. It is fascinating. Just a wonderful brevity, strong imagery and metaphors. I like the general sense that it gives of love lost and mourning for it. My particularly favorite lines are when it says, the tunnel become an archery's fool. You know, it gives thought to the idea of Cupid and his arrows. And then I also like open, vague black line with mercenary sand come through. The use of the word mercenary makes it particularly dark, you know, as if this person wishes that death, you know, like that death would come and take all feelings that he has so he doesn't have to deal with the pain. So excellent write and very well done.
Great comment. Thank you, Pam. And Sawa, what did you think?
I agree with all of you. I'm not familiar with this writer, poet, and this is beautiful image, the way so emotive. You can feel the feeling and the pain and love with every line, even from the beginning, how he let go, and my stars as mockingbird let go, star bright upon her shoulder, proud as the lake of unprecedented dreams. You can feel from there her soul, she thought, and then he used words to express how he feels. It's like a tunnel and foam and torrent, but then there is happiness, festival jubilation, not like an arrow passing east. All what he has glow in my eyes, remaining undiminished. It's the worst when you love someone and you see them. But I really like it. It's very, very beautifully done.
Great comment. Thank you, Sawa.
My pleasure.
Okay. So I've got the next right here, and I'll post this up. Oh, it's up. Okay. So this is by, I just got to get back to the poem here. This is by Night Charmed, and it's kind of called Two Rights. I know that I made some mistakes. I regret it every minute, every day. Hurting you is something I told myself I would never do. But here we stand. Sadly, it's true. I won't be surprised if you refrain and say, it can't be done. All I ask is you believe me when I say those times are through. It fills my heart with grief that you are in such pain. I hope you find happiness, that all your days take flight. I also pray that I remain to make these wrongs rights. End poem. And, that was a touching poem about, heartache and loss when you made mistakes and, you know, you want to correct them, but the other person doesn't think it can be so. I thought it was a heartfelt right. What did you think, Pam?
I definitely agree. It was heartfelt. It's very emotive. I like the straightforward style. I like that it is about regretting your actions and being truly sorry and wanting to right the wrongs. But knowing, especially as it wraps up, I also pray that I remain to make those wrongs to right. It's the idea of knowing that you might not be able to stay in the person's life, and that, you know, you just have to, hope for the best and, if necessary, move on and, right the wrongs as you can. So just a really emotive write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. That was a wonderful comment. And Salva, what did you think?
I agree. I mean, you can feel his genuine regret and sincere that he wished he didn't do whatever he did to hurt her. And saying it openly is not easy. It takes a lot of courage. Hurting is something I told myself I would never do, but here we stand, sadly, it's true. And he wished he got a second chance, but unfortunately, he knows that she would, as you said, would refrain. But still, he wished her the best and wish her I hope you find happiness, that all your days take flight, that I remain to make these wrongs to right. So it would be, exactly, he learning from this experience to never repeat what he knows what's right and wrong and not do it again. It takes a lot of courage, really. Amazing.
Absolutely. Thank you, Sawa, for the wonderful comment.
Okay,
Pam, I'll have the next write-up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. This is Honored Teachings by Gypsy Jenny, and it goes like this. Our path traveled on this earth is humble and wide. I seek truth and honor to follow the good of my teachers, pass through the footsteps of our ancestor guides, borrow you to me, to thee, as family seekers. I seek truth and honor to follow the good of my teachers, pressed crisp in pages of worn winter white, borrowed you to me, to thee, as family seekers. We honor the gifts given for our journey's flight. Pressed crisp in pages of worn winter white, passed through the footsteps of our ancestor guides. We honor the gifts given for our journey's flight. Our path traveled on this earth is humble and wide. End poem.
Beautiful poem. I guess it's a pantoum, which is a poem of any length composed of four-line stanzas in which the second and fourth lines of each stanza serve as the first and third lines of the next stanza. The last line of a pantoum is often the same as the first. Yeah, it's well done on the pantoum form. But, you know, the poem is rich in its morals. I thought it was just beautifully executed. What did you think, Sawa?
I really like it. I'm not familiar with this. I've seen it a couple of times, and it's very, I think the repetition kind of make it more present in our mind, and also how important it is for her. Our path traveled, the form, I guess, that she used, it just shows the importance of her ancestors and how I seek truth and honor to follow the good of my teacher, passed through the footstep of her ancestor guides, borrowed you to me as family seekers. It's just... it's beautiful when I think everyone have in the family someone who like really like teachers and we want to follow their steps and we wish they're here to see the how we actually like follow them. I see that. I seek the truth and honor to follow my good teachers. It's just there's pride that she follow them and honor by it. The gifts given to our journey fight. It's really beautiful, very humbling. And remind us that our path travel on this earth is humble and wide. You just have to remember that, too. There's so much in this, very rich, as you said. I really like it.
Thank you, Sawa. I appreciate the comment. And Pam, what did you think?
My pleasure.
I really like this. It's a wonderful pantoum. It's got a nice flow to it, as most form poems do. I like that it is all about learning from your ancestors, but also knowing that you are the generation that will be teaching the next generation. And I really like that borrowed you to me to thee as family seekers, the idea that the family, each generation, works together to teach the next. So I thought it was very well done.
Great comment. Thank you, Pam. Okay, I'm going to grab the next poem here.
Hey, great. I believe you have Bobby on.
Okay,
you
great.
Have a
thank
703.
You.
Yep.
Okay. I'm just going to post this up, and then I'll grab her. Okay. Bobby!
Hey, I'm waiting to be grabbed.
Hey, Bobby. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
And so I have the next poem up, Sawa, if you wouldn't mind reading that, please.
I didn't see it. Let me refresh. Maybe I missed it. Oh, Garden Delights, right?
Yes.
Okay. On the Wind by Garden Delights. In the desolate solitary hours when fear trickles down my spine, time is my jailer, closing me behind its doors, isolating my heartbeat's distance from yours. Drips following a storm, paying a pattern of rubies upon my flesh. Heat carved runes tell of lovers set aside long ago, withers on the wind, answers and found my present twist into a knotted conflagration, higher, hotter than before. Voices from the past rise and resonate. Your heart pain bleeds from your words, that love is the umbrella under which these wounds fester. Is that much worse? Untangle your heart threads from their prison bars. The landscape of your life must evolve. Immerse yourself and know freedom. My quest begins now. End of poem.
Beautiful read, Tala. And, you know, this is a deep and touching right about self-exploration and finding who you are. Immerse yourself and know freedom. My quest begins now. Yeah, just a beautiful right. Wonderful content and great flow to it as well. What did you think, Pam?
Yeah, this was really beautiful. I really liked the way she made her lines flow in such a way that it's visually appealing. This wonderful imagery, and I really like that it is about how instead of just sitting around and sulking about the pain of the hard pain of life, it's an opportunity to stand up, move forward, and start seeking those answers. And as you said, Gray, you know, get onto that quest of realizing, of finding out who you are. So excellent, right, and very well done.
Great comment. Thank you, Pam. And Bobby, what did you think?
Oh, I thought this was lovely. Very lyrical. The metaphors in this are just exquisite. Time is my jailer, closing me behind its doors, isolating my heartbeat, just distant from yours. You can feel the anxiety, the angst in there already. But the rest of it, and like Pam said, the way she's structured it also gives it a flow. But this is just an exquisite write.
Awesome comment. Thank you, Bobby. And Sal, what did you think?
I agree with everyone. She's just a very, there's so much emotion in here. You can feel it in every stanza. And she move on from knowing that withers of the wind answer and found my present twist into a knotted conflagration, higher, hotter than before. It's just, I love how even the image that she picked present those emotions. It go higher and voices from the past rise. When we question ourselves, we have all these back and forth in our mind. And she brought this really well, but then it just shows to make. Either be a prison and just behind bars of time or free yourself. So she chose to free herself. Really well done and continue her quest.
Thank you so much, Sala. Okay, Bobby, I have the next break. Would mind, please?
Mind? You always say that. Yep. I always say no. Live for that request. You know that. Okay. I Wonder by Pam H. Okay. Ooh, bison. I realize that I must have looked like an extraterrestrial being with my dog's bone collar light flashing in the middle of my chest, just below my rib cage, like a beating heart. So very early on that milky, thick, foggy morning, I smiled, and he did a double take. I wonder what it is he saw approaching him in the fog, blinking, throbbing, beating, drumming, like the heart of an infinite line, ancestral power lineage, from here, there, simply from everywhere. I wonder what he thought, seeing a billion ancestors approaching him from the fog. I wonder. End poem.
Beautiful read, Bobby. And, you know, this is a powerful poem with its self-assured confidence of a billion ancestors, you know, approaching him from the fog. You know, you have to wonder what it is that he saw And, you know, I thought it was just a fabulous rite throughout. What did you think, Pam?
Oh, absolutely. This was an intriguing rite. Wonderful imagery. And I like that she takes the eye, looks at it from somebody else's perception. Like, to me, the whole poem is basically, like, wondering how do other people see us? You know, it captures to me a simple moment of walking in the dark and wondering, you know, as you're wearing your dog's blinking lighted collar, what you would look like to somebody else, or, you know, but to me it covers a broader thought, which Pam Ait's poetry often does. It's very layered, and the idea of, do we take time to think about how other people perceive us? And or how we perceive other people, and maybe the whatever blocks we have up in our mind, walls we have up in our mind, fogs need to be, you know, taken down. So just a excellent thought-provoking write and very well done.
Absolutely. Thank you, Pam. And Salwa, what did you think?
I agree. Pam have a way to always have a very intriguing write and make us think. For me, I saw... I don't know, for the one, especially the last stanza, well, simply from everywhere, I wonder what he thought seeing a billion ancestors approaching him from the fog. I feel like it's, you know, when you think of your ancestors and you, like almost like something that's from the past, but you don't really can see it because there's this fog, and how do you deal with it? I don't know. That's what the impression it gave me, because it's foggy. It's not something that's very clear in your mind. I feel like it's metaphoric, but I have to read it one more time. This is what I got so far from it. But I love your comment, Pam, and both of you. That's where I went. I'm going to be quiet.
Great comment. Thank you, Salwa. And Bobby, what do you think of the poem that you read?
I love the storytelling in this. It leaves some things to the reader's imagination, which I think is wonderful. Her illustration at the top, the charging bison. I wasn't sure when I saw that where this was going, but it's interesting storytelling in that here she's approaching someone in the fog, and she's got some kind of flashing light on her person, and he says, "I wonder what he saw approaching him in the light." And he says, "Did it double take?" Yeah, one of those "what the hell" moments. But it's interesting, and especially in the light of what Pam said, is how we perceive people the very first moment we meet them, or we see them, or they speak to us. Or they enter a room, the assessments are instantaneous and quite often wrong. Also how we tend to impact on other people. I remember a Charlie Brown cartoon where Charlie asked Linus why he only shined the tops of his shoes. And Linus says, "I care about what people think when I'm coming into the room. I don't care what they think when I leave." You wonder, you know, what do people think of me? I just announce myself as the crazy blonde lady. That way, it you know, it cuts through a lot of problems. You know? It solves a lot of doubt.
Great. Great comment. Thank you, Bobby. Okay, so I have the next write. It's by Ekrivane 01, and it's called "Guns, Bombs, and Murders Don't Make a Boy a Man." There's something wrong with boys nowadays. They think with the wrong head, or don't think at all. Like robots, testosterone-crazed. Massive inferiority complex rise. Thoughts of revenge and raging squall. There's something wrong with boys nowadays. Too much stroking and too much praise poise their egos for a massive fall, like robots, testosterone-crazed. Clouded minds cast a dangerous haze and aid as insanities beckon and call. There's something wrong with boys nowadays. mad dogs chasing their tails in a daze. Their common sense seems to sputter and stall like robots, testosterone crazed. Pitiful failures, each sad punk slays far better people. With a gun, he stands tall. There's something wrong with boys nowadays. They're robots, testosterone crazed. Wow, that was an impactful, right? And I think it hit spot on of the subject of boys with guns today, and you know their emotional state in doing so has to be taken into question for sure. And it says apropos of the murdering punk in Michigan high school shooter. So it's obviously based off of a real life event, and you know that got him thinking. So he had to write this. So I thought it was just a fascinating write and an excellent poem by Jim Dunlap. What did you think, Pam?
Yeah, this is definitely one of those writes that brings tears to your eyes. The fact that it's based on reality to so many schools in the past, like especially it seems like 15 years, there's been more and more school shootings. And it's things like this that makes you realize that there does need to be perhaps stricter gun laws. I mean, I don't want to go too much into politics. I personally believe that in the right to own arms, but I also believe that there needs to, as far as, but the main, more laws as far as, being able to get a gun. But the main thing with this is, especially in lines like too much stroking and too much praise, poise their egos for a massive fall like robots testosterone crazed. It's not so much about the gun laws to these young men. It's about the parenting that's going on or the fact that, there's probably been other signs and it's not just the parents, but schools a lot of time will ignore bullying, dismiss it. Too often we hear the phrase, boys will be boys. And that's not to say that girls don't bully too. They do. They tend to be very psychological in their bullying. Statistically, though, most school shooters do tend to be, unfortunately, young men. And, it's got to be very confusing at times to be a young man. Testosterone obviously does a lot of good things, but it also, it like any hormone, can completely throw the mind out of whack. And so, this is sad to me because it's sad to those who get shot. It's honestly even sad to me to those who become the shooter. It's just all around a sad situation for too many schools. And what I like, on a technical level, this poem flows really nice with its mostly three-line stanza and the four-line stanza at the end. But what's the most important thing about this poem is that it speaks up on a horrific and important subject that needs to be acknowledged. So it's very well done.
Great comment. Thank you, Pam. And Sawa, what did you think? Hello, Sawa?
I'm sorry, I was on mute. I like your comment very much, Pam. You really very poignant comment. And the poem, absolutely. I mean, it's so sad. I agree with Pam. I always feel sad for both the parents of the children who are shooting, it must be horrible. And also, of course, the victim themselves. And I think it's a confusing time for this teenager. They don't know what to do with themselves. And when they're not guided right, this is the result, unfortunately, because like robots, he said, they don't think for themselves. They just like shoot. And I hate to say this, but also the games that they play and those violent add to this. They make them, like really, as he said, mad dogs chasing their tails in the days. Because they, when I think like it's feed into this violent games, when the more they do, the more kind of almost make them numb. And that, in my opinion, it's kind of dangerous, those games too. And it's unfortunate. It's very sad. And he's really brought it to life. And there is something need to be done. He's right.
Absolutely, yeah, I agree. Thank you, Salwa. That was a great comment.
My pleasure.
And Bobby, what did you think?
It's a very moving piece. I like, from a technical point of view, the structure is beautifully balanced. The rhyming pattern is subtle enough that it flies under the radar, but it reads beautifully. The repetition, the refrain, like robots, testosterone craze, there's something wrong with boys nowadays, very impactful. I agree with Pam, and I'd go one step further. Gun control is one thing, but we need a cultural change because we still have a frontier mentality. I mean, it's a wonderful country. I love it, but there's cultural flaws, and it's just that's one of them. And not to get too far afield, but also with our leadership, we tend to think a culture. We tend to look at the person first and the office second, whereas in Europe they look at the office first and the person second, which is why you see women being elected to higher office, because they look at the office and think, oh, this person can do the job. They don't look at them and say, they're a woman, they can't do the job. And it's another cultural change. It's a seed change, like the mentality of resorting to violence to solve a problem. It's something we have to address at a really fundamental level. And otherwise, nothing's going to change. It's just whatever we fix, it's going to be symptomatic.
Absolutely. Well said. Thank you. Okay, I have the next poem up. It's by Martha Gettle, and I have a SoundCloud for her.
Be Your Biggest Fan by Martha Gettle. You are worth so much more than you think. And I'm not speaking with a nod and a wink. I know you can feel your heart has no home, but there's no truth in what you tell yourself when you're sad and alone. Don't believe the things you hear from someone else. With so much love in your heart, give some to yourself. Only you know what resides inside your heart. Only you can make your own healing start. So come on, be your biggest fan. For yourself, stand up and take a stand. Only you really know how great you are. You know you can shine just like a star. So don't let other people bring you down when with their criticisms they come around. Embrace your own worthiness and know you are the best you can be wherever you go. So come on, be your biggest fan. For yourself, stand up and take a stand. Only you really know how great you are. You know you can shine just like a star. You should know and never have a doubt that if you try, you can work it out. Intelligent people lack confidence, it's true. And stupid people are always there to tell you what to do.
Well, that was an excellent singing job. You know, I like her homey, folky type style. And, you know, she really does well for a cappella. But, you know, the song is true. A person needs to find themselves in themselves and learn to love that person. And you'll be your best friend in the end. And I thought it was well done throughout. What did you think, Pam?
Oh, I have to agree. It's always great to get sound clouds from Martha. And I really like with this one that she reminds us to, no matter what anybody else says, be confident, believe in yourself, keep cheering yourself on. You know, the best way to, you know, get past the criticism is to just, you know, move forward and say, you know what, I know I'm worth something. I know I'm a superstar, you know. And I have to say, this is great all the way through, but that end line particularly cracked me up. Intelligent people lack confidence, it's true, and stupid people are always there to tell you what to do. That was funny. So,
absolutely.
Right, and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. That was a wonderful comment. And Sawa, what did you think?
I agree with all of you. She just had a beautiful energy. She makes me smile every time I hear her. And it's just, you feel so much, like a person who gives this kind of advice, someone show her big heart. And it's true, there are people who try to bring people down. There are people who are mean. And at the end, if you listen to them, they can bring you down. So don't believe the things you hear from someone else. With so much love in your heart, give some to yourself. Only you know what resides inside your heart. And no one can really know that but yourself. It's true. Beautifully done. I love her energy again. I really do.
Great comment. Thank you, Sawa. And Bobby, what did you think?
I agree with Sawa. Martha always has a wonderful energy. She's very upbeat person, always very positive in all of her work that she shares with us. She has a very optimistic spin on life, and I can't help but think that being around her, it'll probably be contagious. Her song reminded me, and here I go into obscurity again, making obscure references. But you know, anyone who has their obscure reference warning, turn it off, please. my partner used to do that. I'd say something and he'd go, obscure warning reference, you know. yeah. Anyway, smartass. There was a musical called My Sister Eileen. Wonderful, very uplifting about these two sisters that go to New York. They want to be famous. One wants to be an actress and the other wants to be a writer. And they're both getting shot down at whatever they're trying to do. But their landlord is trying to bolster them and make them feel better. And they break into a song called I'm Great But No One Knows It. It's got the most wonderful lyrics. I'm great but no one knows it. No one knows it so far. But they'll get wise and realize how marvelous we are. You know, and the whole song is like that. And they're of course, they're dancing down the street while they're singing. But again, it is the positive reinforcement that even though maybe other people around you don't have the same opinion of you, you know what you're capable of. And as long as you live up to your potential, that's all you can ask of yourself, which I think Martha nails it, again, with her very homespun wisdom.
Thank you, Bobby. And I'd like to welcome Frank to the show. Hello, Frank.
Hello. Hello.
Hello,
hello
Frank.
Friend.
Hello, Frank.
Hello, Sal. I'm sorry. I was waiting for no. I heard Bob in the background there, but I wasn't hoping that so soon. It's good to be on there. It's good to be on. I'm sorry. I wasn't expecting that.
Well said. Frank, did you hear the last poem?
No, I heard only Martha's song about
Last,
a snippet of it. I only heard a snippet of it, unfortunately. But from what I heard is, it's always, I mean, I'll make it brief. I always enjoy Martha's, you know, poetry or her songs because they always come from within her. They're always giving to us about her. And that's what I like about and appreciate about her songs or her poetry, that are very much embedded in her experiences. And that's always good when you can relate to somebody on a certain level, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Well said. Thank you, Frank. Okay, Pam,
You're
I
welcome.
Have your poem up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
I'd be happy to. All right, this poem was inspired by the book title, Nectar in a Sieve. Just the title. I've actually never read the book, so don't be surprised if there's absolutely no connection. All right, and this is Rooted in Mud-Caked Possibilities, and it goes like this. If I were a vegetable, I'd be a rutabaga, deep purple and cream, round and glorious, rooted to mud-caked possibilities of life. Grandmother hands would push me through a sieve until I was rice paper pieces of my former self. The baker's widow would churn the butter to spread across me. I am the answered prayer of the winter kitchen, the soup that feeds a hungry spirit. And with the salt of grandfather, the wisdom of the earth, I become nourishment. I become light to guide the way. End poem.
Wow, that was a beautiful poem, Pam. You can feel the love that this rutabaga has for its existence, and that shines through quite beautifully in the whole poem. But, you know, I really like the soup that feeds a hungry spirit, and with the salt of grandfather, the wisdom of the earth, I become nourishment. I become light to guide the way. Just a beautiful, right, Pam? Excellent personification of a rutabaga. Never heard
Thank
that
you.
Before. But just fascinating. Excellent job, Pam. And Salwa, what did you think?
I really like it. It's hard to write poems like this about vegetables, and I mean, I will suck on this one. You did so beautiful. Not only that, you really like brought this this vegetable to life, but you took us back to your own. I feel like your own memories, grandmother hands. And grandfather, wisdom on earth. There's almost like a former self, and until I was paper, appreciation of that time as well. I don't know. That's what I felt, but I might be wrong. But I really like it, and I like the same line that nourishment. I become nourishment. I become light to guide the way. Beautifully
Thank you.
Done. My pleasure.
Thank you, Salwa. And Bobby, what did you think?
I love the title, Rooted in Mud-Caked Possibilities. Very, very, very earthy, very basic. Although for a moment there, I thought Pam was going to get exciting because she started talking about melted butter. So I wasn't sure where she
Yeah, we'll have to listen for, I don't know, a butter.
I would more
that.
Expect that from Frank than you. But, you know. but nonetheless, you could also say turnip, because that's also another very nourishing root vegetable. But with the salt of grandfather, the wisdom of the earth, I become nourishment. I become the light to guide the way, which is true. If you listen to older people and their experiences, certainly they are the salt of the earth. They have a lot to say. But I like the way you laced it with butter.
Well, thank you very much.
Well said. Thank you, Bobby. And Frank, what did you think?
I'm going to have to go with the comments here have been said by, in particular by Salwa. I did sense that this was somewhat related to a family, you know, this relation here, and I like the fact that you made it that way. You brought us the element of the rutabaga, and you describe it and how much, you know, it enriches, so how much it enriches one, you know, it is nourishment, as you say, but I also like the fact that it's also the light as well to guide the way, and I like that simplistic message there. You know, what you offer there of what it gives and what, you know, it's not only a vegetable, you know, that has protein or so be it, or nourishment, but it also has a point of reflection as well, because it offers, you know, a sense of relation with others. And I think Saul was saying something about this exactly, and how much, you know, families, you know, and our, you know, we think of memories, how much relate to, you know, the experiences that we share, you know, and in this case, you know, whether it's just a vegetable as a, as an, a rutabaga, it still is still a very, I would say it's a memory to cherish.
Absolutely. Thank you, Frank.
That was a great note.
Oh, you're welcome.
Great comment. Thank you, Frank. Okay, I have your poem up, Sala, if you don't mind, please.
Of course, and I hate to, are we good in time? What do you want me to do? I don't like to jump without asking.
Go ahead.
Let's read it in. Okay. This is like, was hard because in French and English is like completely almost different, the rondo, but it was a big challenge for me. Hope survive, l'espoir a demeuré. L'espoir a demeuré, après chagrin pleure, quand ses yeux pleuraient, avec un cœur creusé, avec les oiseaux sanglants, survolant ses peines, éveillant ses sensations, l'espoir a demeuré, des mots tendres à la murmurer, atteint des pétales de rose, leur parfum a apaisé ses peurs, la nuit a chanté et dansé, le matin elle pleurait et riait, en asséchant ses larmes, l'espoir a demeuré. Hope survived at all times, after grief and tears, and her eyes cried with a heart hollowed, the bleeding wings of birds flying over her sorrows. The dream awakened, hope survived. She hymned tender words, caught by petals of roses. The scent quieted her fears. At night she sang and danced. At morn she cried and laughed. After long silent silences, hope survived in the form.
Beautiful read, Sala, and such a touching poem.
Thank you.
You know, you can always feel your heart bursting through your lines, and, you know, such tender words and scenery, and just such a touching poem. What did you think, Pam?
Thank you.
You bet.
I think this is beautiful, and I love the phrase, the starting line, hope survived at all times, you know, and wonderful imagery in with bleeding wings of birds, because sometimes we feel like our ability to soar above our problems has been lost or is fading away. I like how this is about finding that hope in the dark time, about the hope that survives, and you know, as you say in the beginning, like after long silences, you know, it's when we start to talk, when we start to laugh, when we start to sing again, that hope once again comes forth. So excellent, right, and very well done.
Thank you so much, Pam.
Great comment, thank you, Pam. And Bobby, what did you think? You bet.
Oh, we get treated to Selwa and more diamond dust. She has such a delicate touch with your word. And I the last stanza, at night she sang and danced, at morn she cried and laughed, after long silent silences, hope survived. And the way you echo in each stanza, you begin the first stanza with hope survived. Hope survives in the center of the second stanza, and it finishes the end. Beautiful balance, beautiful words, exquisite right.
Thank you so much, Ben. I mean, sorry, Bobby, I'm losing my
concentration.
Sorry. Sorry. It's the rondo who did this. The rondo did the repetition.
Yeah,
had to follow the rules. Thank you.
And Frank, what did you think?
So, first of all, if I can say that there is an adage that we say in Spanish, "La esperanza es lo último que se muere," and that is basically saying that hope is the last thing that dies. And I felt this here in this poem throughout the brevity. But I really was just drawn to the prompt there, and I could really gravitate and realize the words of this, you know, of the poem itself and what it's meant here. You know, if there's one thing I always appreciate about, you know, the whole notion of starting over, whether it's a rebirth of starting, you know, a life, a relation, or whatever you want to call it, there is always that element of finding something there tangible to grab on, to begin, to initiate that start or the restart of life. And I like this whole notion here, the way you bring the word. It's only four letters, hope, but it means a lot. And I could certainly feel it, you know, palpably, you know, the meaning of hope here in this word. And it was just another example of beautiful writing. And I've said this to Sawa before. She has a wonderful gift of using metaphors, in this case, of nature, to blend them in to human nature. And I always admire that.
Oh, thank you so much, Frank.
Oh, you're welcome.
Wonderful comment. Thank you, Frank. And Sawa, would you like to say anything about your poem?
Oh, I was really doing the Hondo. I was thinking about hope, and I was thinking about Hondo. I challenged myself. It took me a good hours. That's all. And I love nature. So, but thank you.
Excellent job, Sawa. Okay, Bobby, I have your poem up, and you have a SoundCloud for this.
Yes, I do.
Warning. That's
a warning.
I like it. Oh, I'm
warning
funny.
Alert. Is it a warning
You'll
alert?
You'll know when I've arrived. The room will fall strangely quiet. Small talk and cocktail conversation will ebb. And all eyes will be cast toward the door. And that's just the way I like it. There will be envious frowns of disapproval mixed with wanton looks of desire. Some will think my black leather bustier inappropriate, simply because it furnishes me with a balcony you could play Shakespeare off of. I realize that occasionally during the conversation, I will have to snap my fingers near my face and remind the gentleman speaking to me that my eyes are up there. And that's just the way I like it. And when accompanied by black leather pants and 4-inch CFM stiletto high-heel boots, the phrase dressed to kill assumes new meaning. Complete the ensemble with a short black leather jacket, and tongues will wag or jaws will drop, as the case may be. Shock and awe isn't only for the battlefield. I find it works quite well at social gatherings. Most women aren't equipped to exercise it. Most men aren't equipped to deal with it. And that's just the way I like it. Oh, and I'm not known for mincing words. Female snarkiness will earn one a verbal bitch slap. And if a male presumes there is mental vacuity beneath my gorgeous mane of long blonde hair, he will quickly learn to sorely regret that misconception. All will discover that this doll can push a noun against a verb. Sprinkle a few well-chosen polysyllabic adjectives, drop the occasional well-placed F-bomb, and assemble whole paragraphs with breathtaking success. Let the gossiping and the bad-mouthing commence. I am well known for being unapologetically me. And if that scares the hell out of you, well, honey, that's okay with me, because wolves don't lay down with sheep. So fair warning, I have arrived. And if you disapprove of me, you know precisely what you can do and precisely where you can place your unsolicited opinion. And that's just the way I like it. End poem.
Beautifully done, Bobby. Excellent read and fantastic.
I'm sorry, I couldn't stop laughing. I'm sorry.
That's good. It's mostly fun.
You know, and I really like the refrain that, and that's just the way I like it, woven throughout the poem. You know, you can feel her power in this, or your power. And I thought it was just a fabulous write, Bobby. What did you think, Pam?
Thank you.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this. I liked the attitude throughout. It was just full of sassiness. full of, the whole write was just extremely intelligent. I did like that repetitive line, and that's just the way I like it. I also, I think my favorite stanza is the one that starts with, "Oh, and I'm not known for mincing words," and then on to the next one. "All will discover that this cell can push a noun against a verb, sprinkle in a few well-chosen polysyllabic adjectives." You know, just great lines all the way through. And another really great line was, you know, "Because wolves don't lay down with sheep." So just a strong right. Love the attitude in this one. Love the strength of character. And this is very well done.
Thank you. This was for one of your contests.
I remember that. Yes, that was that was a great contest.
That's what prompted it, because you said, "Give me bold," and so I did.
There you go. Yeah, great, right, Bobby.
Excellent, right? Excellent read, Bobby. And Sal, what did you think?
Thank you.
I just love it. I feel like it's really Barbie. I just couldn't smile and laugh. I like, there's so many references to you. Sarkam isn't only for the battlefield, I said, this is. And how he really taught you to be confident. And just, you know, when I have arrived. Like, you don't even need a warning. I'm here. You know me. I just love it, how it's honest and
thank you.
Confident. Yes. And also, there's a lot of message here. Sometimes the way women dress can be misread and as you said, inappropriate, simply because it's furnished with me. I love everything about it. I really do. How it's just funny how you put it there, and when accompanied by black leather pants and 4-inch stiletto high heel boots, and it's so true. Like unfortunately, this is really an experience that I witnessed. Unfortunately, one of my students literally got raped because the police of the university told her, "You deserve it."
My goodness.
I couldn't believe it. Yes, it really did happen. It's just so sad, and she left the university altogether. She was an A student, so I mean, it's just,
yeah.
That's what I see here. I mean, it's not like the way I dress going to make me like a bad person. I love it. I love the whole thing about it. Just amazing. And there is humor. And I love, there is humor, even though maybe he didn't mean to have humor, but there is humor in there.
Okay.
Even if it's empowering, but there's beautiful humor. I really enjoyed it very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Paula.
Mm-hmm.
And Frank,
where do I begin with this here? I would say it's a very clever piece. I like the wording, as always. You always have this a knack with usage of vocabulary. Your diction is always one that I always admire. I admire more the imagery of this poem here. You know, I can envision myself the type of soirees that you used to, you know, I would say carouse a bit there, but it really was brought me down memory lane myself. But I really liked the poem. I really liked the way you brought the character itself, you know, and gave her personality. Very much what Pam was saying, you made her very forceful. You made her very courageous, very bold, I would say, audacious there. But I think it's always good that you can be yourself, you know. And my only question here is, you say something here which really caught my eyes here. You say, "Most men aren't equipped to deal with it," and that's just the way I like it. I'll have to take a rain check on that one there.
L'audace, toujours l'audace.
Oh, mon plaisir.
Wonderful comments, everybody.
Thank you.
And Bobby, would you like to say anything about your right, Bobby?
It was for one of Pam's contests, and she said bold and confident, and I looked at her prompts, And I thought to myself, when have I felt most bold and most confident? And I just, when you dress to please yourself, when you can walk into a room, and even though you get a lot of attention, you can deal with it, and you can deal with it intellectually. And you can be, that's why I said this doll can push a noun against a verb and sprinkle in a few polysyllabic adjectives. Because I am blonde. I'm still blonde, even though I'm 68 years old, believe it or not, I'm still blonde. How many times I would encounter a man's attitude where they saw blonde hair, and I had quite a mane when I was younger, and they automatically assumed mental vacuity, you know, and if they even got anywhere near that, they never knew what hit them. I would come out with something scathing that would just leave them gape-jawed, trying to figure out what the hell they got hit with. I remember one occasion, and I was in my 30s. I was in my late 30s. A friend of mine and I had gone, a woman friend had gone to, she was a manager for a clothing store, and I'd gone shopping there, and she said, well, we're closing. Let's go get a drink. I said, okay. And so we went to one of the local bars, a local hotel. So I have a very nice bar. And we're sitting there chatting and having a drink. It was a horseshoe-shaped bar, and the bartender is right in the center. So he's at a pivot point. Well, she excuses herself to go use the facilities. And I'm sitting there, and this gentleman, and I use that term loosely, approaches me, announces with great pride that his name is Ed, and proceeds to just start talking rubbish. And I have a way of dropping my voice with situations like that. I can hit the lower registers quite remarkably. And I looked at him, and I put my hand up, and I said very quietly and seductively, I said, before you continue, may I ask you a personal question? And he looked at me and said, sure. And I looked at him, I said, would you honestly want to spend time with a woman who would buy a line of crap like that? Because if you do, obviously you don't want to be with me. Excuse me. And I got up and I moved. And my friend came back. She said, why did you move? And I told her, I said, Ed. And he was still standing there trying to regroup. I thought the bartender was going to spit his gum across the room. I told her, yeah. She said, you said that to me? I said, yes, because he insulted me by assuming that I had no intellect. I said, maybe the next woman he approaches, he won't make that assumption. So,
good for you.
when Pam put that prompt out there, I hoped I rose to the challenge.
You did.
Yeah. Okay, welcome back, Pam. And I have Frank's poem up, and he has a SoundCloud as well, so please. Okay, Frank, where are you? Here you are.
A tincture of tangerine rays of the sun cast a reflection upon the liquid ripples of the gentle currents of the river, the canvas of engraved image to a mosaic of nature, a testimony of the days when autumn was full of serenity. Fallen leaves serenaded by the wind dance to the notes of a violin as they turn to a symphony of rubies glistening in the dew, and the nightingales glide beneath cotton clouds of the periwinkle sky after the sobbing night has mourned the dormant silence of their singing. The leaves wrinkle into a crispy and curly fold of serrated regret. The crystal tears of the trees reach the splendor of balls adjacent, touched by the softness of the flowered petals lying on the edge, a token of the golden memories once cherished by two lovers. A spirit watches through the eyelids of the walls of the tower as I return to the bridge where we laughed and smiled all day, with a fine glass of bubbling wine and a box of delicious chocolates sprinkled with almonds and rum to sweeten our awakened taste buds. Now, I am alone in this solitary bridge, waiting for her ghost, holding on to the satin and silk garments of her evening dress, hoping that the soothing days of autumn never go away again, and she shines to me her angelic luminosity with the morning sun. There is a harmony in autumn and a luster in its sky, which through the summer is not heard or seen, as if it could not be, as if it had not been there before. But I am a witness that harmony and luster are the embodiment of her, the visible signs of her beauty. Oh, I am a witness that harmony and luster are the embodiment of her, the visible signs of her beauty. End of poem.
Well, that was a beautiful read, Frank, and such a fascinating, touching story. I love happening in autumn and all that, you know, happens around it. It's such a magic takes place, and it, you know, fallen leaves suspended, serenaded by the wind, dance to the notes of a violin as they turn into a symphony of rubies glistening in the dew, and the nightingales glide beneath cotton clouds of the periwinkle sky. And after the sobbing night has mourned the dormant silence of their singing, just a hard-hitting, powerful rite.
I appreciate that. I don't have the pic on there, the picture. But it was based on a prompt there that was very much based on, you know, elements of a bridge, nature, fall. And so I took from that that prompt, which is not here, but that was the basis for this poem here, what inspired me as well.
Well, thank you, Frank. And just a fabulous poem, Pam. I mean, Frank, excellently done. Pam, what did you think?
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Oh, I thought this was absolutely beautiful. I like that the heart of the poem is about love lost to death and the memories of times once shared together. It makes it beautiful, bittersweet, and haunting. But I like that you added the imagery in to enhance the story. And not only imagery, like the color of the sky and the way the bridge looked, but also the other senses are brought in. Like you can just smell the flowered petals. You can taste the chocolate sprinkled with almonds and rum. You know, it's definitely one of those rites that just really intrigues the senses. Beautifully written and very well done.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Great comment, Pam. Thank you. And Salwa, what did you think?
I agree with both of you. It's just really beautiful, loving nature. I just love anything about nature. And you brought nature into this, you give it like melancholic feeling, even though it's beautiful, but there is sadness in there, touched by the splendid bartagen, touched by the sadness of the flower petals lying on the edge, the token of gold memories only shared by two lovers. There is this almost melancholic, so longing for these memories. And you said also there is harmony in autumn and lust in the sky, which through the summer is not. So true, there's something about autumn. There's sadness and beauty at the same time. I really, and I agree with Pam, you awaken all the sensation in here. Beautifully done, really, Frank.
Right. I appreciate that. Merci beaucoup.
My pleasure.
And Bobby, what did you think?
Well, I thought this was an elegant composition. It's intensely tactile and very sensually sensory. It blended with a lot of lyrical imagery of nature. I mean, the leaves wrinkle into a crispy and curly fold of serrated regret. How beautiful is that? The crystal tears of the trees reach the splintered boughs adjacent, touched by the sadness of the flower petals lying on the edge. I mean, that whole, that is a word painting right there. Just the so rich in imagery that you can see it, and the whole, your whole composition is that way. And I've got to say, and now I am alone on this solitary bridge waiting for her ghost. The regret, the yearning in that, is holding on to the satin and silk garments of her evening dress. That is so beautiful. But I've got to say, Frank, you know, your touch with describing sensory images is so rich. Your first paragraph or your first stanza, tincture of tangerine rays of the sun cast a reflection. Right? That is just exquisite. Just so rich in visual imagery. But I have to say, in conclusion, I wish all men saw women through your eyes.
Well, I appreciate that. Perhaps it's the chocolates there, Bobby. Perhaps it's the chocolates there.
Would you like to say anything about your poem?
I noticed you snuck chocolate in there too.
The prompt is a beautiful prompt there. It just took me down a memory. But I wanted to capture the prompt itself there and the elements around the prompt, which was nature and fall, you know, the elements of fall. And I've always appreciated, you know, I'm much like Sawa. I love nature. I grew up in nature, you know. I've traveled, seen so much of the world, but the one thing I've always appreciated from every place that I've gone in the world is the nature, you know, the scenery, the landscape. And I've always found my shelter. I've always found my refuge there, you know, in times of need in nature. You know, I don't have to go to a specific area, but, you know, I do find that nature inspires me very much so in my rights, you know, and when I'm writing a piece, you know, regardless of the genre, you know, I always try to throw in the aspects of the senses, which I always feel is very much a part of me, you know. So this poem is just a prime example of what nature could, you know, influence you and how much it can inspire you to really take the time. It's like a painting, you know. You have a painting there, you just admire and you see it, and you're really there and trying to figure out, you know, what inspires you. And when you really, you know, look at it enough, you're inspired and you just, imagery just pops up there. And this is what happens there at times when I get a painting or a prompt. It just inspires me. It takes me wherever it takes me.
Well said. Thank you, Frank. Okay, I've got the next poem up. This is by Robbie's Poetry. It's called Looking Into Eyes. Looking into your eyes, deep into your eyes, looking for that cosmic connection, the simple yet profound song that makes all things right, that brings mind to second sight, seeing the light beyond all light. What is it exactly that I seek when I look past your irises, past all your defenses, as I breathe in sighs and goodbyes to all bad things? I see you, all of you, naked in truth, fully clothed in soul, all the bones of love's endurance growing, backbone to the universe that lays beyond your eyes. I see the best of what I could be if I could just let go, to be in this moment, to just be with you in this moment, where everything is unbound and all my love is freed. I see the deepest sigh. Feel the tingles travel from tips of toes to fingertips, past body and into soul, seeing past the mundane into the ineffable. A journey started simply by looking deep into your beautiful, your innocent and loving eyes and poem. And he says it was written while listening to Space Love from the Cowboy Bebop sound, watching the new Cowboy Bebop series on Netflix, the live action interpretation of the classic anime has got me listening to the music again. And that's what he said in his author's notes. But I thought it was a beautiful expression of, you know, the power of the eyes and the universe that resides behind those eyes, and how you can be lost in it and found in it at the same time. I thought it was just a beautiful write on the connection beyond the body. And I thought it was well done. Excellent write. And Pam, what did you think?
Yeah, I really liked this. I liked that it's about finding and searching for that a deeper connection beyond the physical. And I do like how it is about, reflects on the whole idea that the eyes are the windows to the soul, and that it's only through really looking deep into somebody's eyes that you can start to get and find the beauty that's within them. So just a wonderful write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. That was a great comment. And Salwa, are you still with us? No. Bobby, what did you think?
I agree with Pam. It is a very soulful piece, very ethereal, very inspirational. It sees past the surface to the essence of the person, what makes them who they are, and their goodness, and their mystery for this person and their attraction. It's beautifully written, very romantic.
Well said. Thank you, Bobby. And he probably just said in the group, when I saw my eyes in the mirror a week ago, I had that esoteric sense that the more negative things are dissolving, thankfully. Frank, what did you think?
Well, yeah, it had that sense of esoteric vision here. But I also agree with what was said here by Bobby, which he said about it's a very romantic piece. You know, the eyes are very much visual, you know. We are attracted to someone. You know, we have to see something that attracts us, and the eyes are one of them. The first thing I would say that attracts us to someone beyond, you know, the mere, you know, just from the mere physicality. And I like this whole little romantic essence of this poem, and how he brings in the dance of the eyes, the look into your eyes. You know, looking for that cosmic connection. They're looking for that connection, which gives us endurance, which gives us a sense of a relation, you know. And this poem here really just was very much, it just brought this, you know, profound, it had a profound, you know, it was a profound read, I would say, as well, the way you wrote it. I mean, the way he wrote it, the way you read it, I thought it was very profound. I just really liked the way he took, you know, the notion of I see you, what he sees beyond the layers and the depth of those eyes there, you know, how much, you know, it can be a cosmic revelation at the same time, a cosmic journey.
Absolutely, yes. Thank you, Frank. It was a great comment. Okay, Pam, I have the next write-up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
I would be happy to. Let me just get back to the group and hold on. Sorry. All right, got to refresh my page. Oh, there it is. All right. Sorry. Okay, finally. All right, this is... Okay. This is Return to January by Stargazer 777. And it goes like this. Clichés are like thorns that have outgrown the flower, like averagely dressed men who blur into the same page and lose my attention. I wander elsewhere, not entirely knowing what I seek. It's not something I can press between my thumb and forefinger and gently rub like it. It doesn't make a sound. There is no indication that the weather is about to change until the white winter comes with its windy packages. And it didn't mean to rhyme, but it did, with a fire in its fist. Everything white and burning, my breath the afterglow of street lamps, footprints, two pairs walking in sync, the stretch of hallway between loving you and Monday mornings, your eyelashes as we kiss in the parking lot, laughter thick as snow. We were children as we watched the ice slide off the backs of our shivering cars as we wrote our names on the windows. I traced yours on the black top two spaces wide, so if the neighbors looked down, maybe they could see it. We made snow angels in the bed while piano keys lifted off the books. This time has its own melody, and if I hadn't told you already, I can fall asleep against the steady hum of your mind, that itchy buzz that hovers in shopping malls, on sardine streets, corners and inside coffee cafes is napping for winter. But there's more to argue about when the TV goes on, when we look to silent wars on social media and even bigger ones on Capitol Hill, when we start to notice what anyone else thinks about who we are together. So I leave it off and I return to you, to January and flakes falling delicately onto my tongue, to the fire you raise from your palm to my cheek, and everything is white but warm and calm.
Beautiful read, Pam. And my anti-cliche living in the moment Valentine's Day poem about how I realized I was in love a year ago during a pandemic, and the tenacity and vibrancy of what's pure and good. My favorite thing is about it is we let childlike wonderment stay alive. And that's a beautiful thing. You know, when you can love with childlike abandonment, that's a beautiful thing. But no, the whole poem is very touching and deep, beautiful metaphorical, right? What did you think, Bobby?
I've already tucked it away in my romantic favorites. This is just a beautiful and inspired, right? Clichés are like thorns that have outgrown the flower, like averagely dressed men who blur into the same page and lose my attention. This is so well written. It is ethereal, yet it's very human. It's very down to earth. It's not something I can press between my thumb and forefinger and gently rub until I recognize it. I mean, it's a beautiful ethereal piece, but it's so grounded. And I love the way it ends. It talks about television, and I leave it off and return to the January and the flakes falling delicately. The whole thing. I'm probably going to read this several times over because to really appreciate this piece, I think requires repeated reading and probably aloud too, because it's just so well written.
Great comment. Thank you, Bobby. And Frank, what did you think?
No, I thought it was, I'm going to echo the same sentiments been said already by Bobby there. I think it's a beautiful write, you know. And what's so enduring about this poem is that, time, you know, events have gone by, you know, memories have been created. And at the same time, while all this is transpiring, you know, the beauty of the love that's being offered in this poem here is cemented here throughout the passage of time. And I really like, I almost felt that I'm reading a bit of the diary, although it's a poem and there's metaphors in this poem. I felt like I'm reading a chapter of a diary here of an episode of a life here, I couldn't say how long, but it does feel like there are episodes here of life experiences. In particular, the bondage of love here that's offered in this piece is very much admirable.
Well said. Thank you, Frank. And Pam, what did you think?
Oh, I thought this was a beautiful and emotive book. I like how it's about finding love during a difficult time and realization that somebody catches your breath and that you don't care necessarily about, so much about what's going on, on social media. You're perfectly happy. Shut the rest of that, all that negativity off and just spend time with that person. As always, Stargazer has just really strong imagery and metaphors, and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Okay, Bobby, you're up. Please and thank you.
I am? Oh, all right. Okay. And we are tackling Magic Light?
Yes.
Okay. Hold on. Recycled. Interesting spelling. Okay. Recycled. In and out of institutions. Seems all I do is fail. Life gives no substitutions. My homes are often jail. A troubled teen, a tearaway, an adolescent punk, shrugging shoulders come my way, discarded as if junk. They put me through the system to try and sort me out. No one's going to miss him or pause to have a doubt. Just a number in a onesie with shackles as I walk. On this treadmill of society, a field mouse to a hawk. I served my time or many years, the sum I can't recall, a someone who's immune to tears, names etched on many wall. The problem stays, but I am free as boxes have been ticked. The systems washed their hands of me. Society been tricked. The outside world was whizzing by with colors I'd forgot. Will my freedom this time last? The odds say it will not. But all too soon they came again, those voices in my head, for me to end my endless pain. I need to leave some dead. Those whispers turned to chanting, inciting me to kill, and soon I found the wanting to see some fresh blood spill. The haze it fell before my eyes, I clasped the hidden knife, whose silhouettes will no more rise. My sake demands each life. Through the system, many times ignored by every judge, to see the error of my crimes, to me its clearest fudge. While recommending this and that with meds to calm me down, and many psychs who want to chat as white coats gather round. And so I sit and face the quack. His questions are the same. He's not surprised to see me back. His notes say I'm insane. One final meal, a last request, to which I am entitled, before injections do their best to one who's been recycled. End poem. And the author's note says, I conjured up this word from recycled, but in this case to show how many unfortunates with mental health get put through a failing system and some end up carrying out the most awful crimes. Not dealing correctly with mental health itself is a crime.
Yeah, fantastic footnote to this fabulous right. You can feel the pain that this person has and the struggles that they go through with their mental illness. I thought it was just a fascinating write on the subject of mental illness. What did you think, Pam? Hello, Pam?
Okay, sorry. I thought you were going to call me, but I didn't hear anything, so sorry about that. I really like this. I like how he played around with the word recycled and the title and created his own word. A wonderful rhyme and flow, and I like that the rhyme doesn't take away from the message of Mike. You know, and to me, the fact that he writes how too oftentimes the system in so many countries fails those who suffer from a mental illness. I think that the system fails is because people talk about it. It's one of those unfortunate taboo subjects. We should be, you know, out there talking, you know, about mental illness and treating it like any other illness that needs to be evaluated and, you know, in the early stages. It's a powerful write and very well done.
Fabulous comment. Thank you, Pam. And Frank, what did you think?
This whole notion of mental illness is one which I've come to know through, you know, working with people who have suffered with this, you know, idea of anxiety. But it's what's remarkable is that it took centuries for us to realize in society to deem it as an illness and not some conjured witchcraft thing. You know, for centuries, people thought that mental illness was something that was, you know, related to evil, and so be it. But I think that now that we are understanding, you know, with technology and with the passing of time, we can understand, and we are knowing people as well, we can relate to the pain and the anguish of these people who do go through mental illness. And what I love about this poem here is that this person doesn't shy away from those experiences, doesn't shy away from the illness. It gives us from the beginning there, the whole notion of what it was, you know, how much it troubled him, you know, being in jail, a troubled teen, you know, and it goes on and gives us just a whole array of what life, the difficulties of what his life was and how much he experimented it and how much it was so badly. You know, Oscar Wilde said, you know, when he was going to, you know, before his trial, he said, life itself, there's so much about love, it's so badly misunderstood in this century. And I still think to a certain extent mental illness is so badly misunderstood in some capacities. But I do like the fact that we are getting better in understanding, you know, the human aspect of it. We might not understand, you know, the mental aspect completely, you know, the psychological aspect, but at least we can understand, you know, relating the human aspect of what mental illness. And this poem really brought that through throughout so imagery here was very much one that I could certainly gravitate to.
Well said. Thank you, Frank. It was a great comment. Yeah, and good. Bobby, what did you think?
A very raw, real, visceral, right, very intense indictment of the, quote, system. The black humor in this piece does not mask the message. That mental health is a very real, very profoundly crippling condition. It's a very sympathetic write, and I agree with what Pam has said and Frank, and also even though we have made progress in terms of mental health issues and the treatment of it, it still has a way to go, because if you see someone who has a physical disability, your reaction to them is profoundly different than if you meet someone with a mental health disability, because you cannot. It's not outwardly manifested. I still feel that there's a prejudice there that still has to be overcome.
Yeah, I agree, Bobby. Great comments, everybody. Okay, Frank, you're up if you don't mind, please.
All right, this is by Golden Butterfly, No Finding Treasure, no?
Yes.
All right, it goes like this. Emmy rushes to the sliding door. Did you see the fairies, Mommy? There is four. My pleas go outside to play. They promise to explore the flower garden today. Julie is the one in blue. She loves to sing songs with you. Peppy prefers the color yellow and travels on the back of a sparrow. Becky wears a gown of red to come to my room at night to tuck me in bed. Lily's dress and skin are green. They say she's the fairy queen. Playing in my room at night, mostly. We try real hard not to be noisy. The painting I made of Pippi is on the refrigerator. I will paint one of Julie later. They're for Becky and Little and Lily's pictures. Both are hanging on my bedroom here. We hope to find treasure under those pink flowers. Yesterday, we searched the grass for hours. In the poem, I apologize. It's just this late hour in my mind. The letters are a little bit difficult for me at this late hour time for me to really gravitate.
you did a wonderful job, Frank. And this is a touching poem about the imagination of a child and how fantastical that journey can be, you know, to have not one fairy but four fairy friends that you can play with and the tuck you in at night and play with you through the day. I thought it was just beautifully done. What did you think, Pam?
I have to agree, it is beautifully done. I like that she took the picture prompt and expanded on it. There's some wonderful imagery. I like that it's about the child's imagination, as you said, but it's also about the way a parent reacts to a child's imagination. And here we have a parent who willingly goes searching for hours in the grass for those fairies, you know, because they want to encourage their child to have an imagination. So this is very well done.
Well said. Thank you, Pam. And Bobby, what did you think?
I enjoyed it thoroughly. To think that an adult wrote this is heartwarming and encouraging, because this adult still has a firm grasp on the child within them. So it's something that we all should embrace from time to time. And I issue this question to everyone listening. When's the last time you skipped?
I skipped to the restroom.
Oh, you skipped? That must have been a sight.
Bobby, thank you. And Frank, what did you think?
All right. I really agree with what's been said here. I love that whole, notion of fantasy, you know, it's a concept at times that we should be able to, you know, though we are adults, we should be able to at times explore, you know, our side of creativity that really was very much attached to our adolescence, our childhood. And I just like the whole notion of this poem here, what is offered here, the message of the poem, the imagery. And I just thought it's a very beautiful piece, you know. It just evokes the sense of being there and trying to grasp onto fantasy, you know. And fantasy is the one thing that we, although we may be adults now, we can all gravitate to fantasy, you know, regardless of the shade of its color. It is a beautiful thing to be able to, you know, to explore our creativity.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Thank you, Frank. Okay, I have the next write-up, and this is by Delilah White, and it's called Because She Believes in Magic. Drips from the tip of a sharpened quill as she opens her book to write his fate. He claims her unstable, mentally ill, deceiving her love to investigate. Mockery of her strength became his game, an attempt to control by way of fear. Gathering friends as an insurance claim to destroy the pureness she holds so dear. Actions of his truth, hard to forget. She sits in the dark, perfecting her craft. Beneath a new moon, intentions are set. Flames dance in rhythm to the night's draft. Premonitions send warning to protect the light of her soul from his angry breath. He underestimates cause and effect. His shadow will hang and scare him to death. End poem. Wow, that was a hard-hitting poem about somebody who wants to keep somebody down, and you know, she has the strength to change that, and he doesn't know that. And I thought that was just fabulous. What did you think, Pam?
Yeah, I have to agree. This is just a wonderful write, powerful write on emotional abuse and psychological abuse and trying to keep somebody down. It really, it flows nicely. I like the four-line stanzas. And I like that there's this sense of the woman finally like standing up for herself, becoming a force of nature, you know. And so just really an excellent dark write and very well done.
Well said. Thank you, Pam. And Bobby, what did you think?
I agree with Pam said that this is a very subtle light. It morphs gradually, leaving the power balance shifted toward the end. I like that. Actions of his truth, hard to forget. She sits in the dark, perfecting her craft. Beneath a new moon, intentions are set, flames dancing in rhythm to the night's draft. And here's where you see the balance, the power balance of power shift. And then the last line, his shadow will hang and scare him to death. That is so subtle. It's just, this is a superb write. Very, very, very skilled. From a technical point of view, it reads beautifully. It's very smooth and flows nicely. But it's a great piece of storytelling also. In just four stanzas, 16 lines.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you, Bobby. And Frank, what did you think?
First of all, I have to say, I don't know if the poem is based on the prompt at the bottom there, 50 Shades of Grey. Nevertheless, I think the poem itself does invoke very strong imagery throughout the poem. You know, I agree, this whole notion of, which is very much a, unfortunately, it's an occurrence that we see daily here, the, you know, negligence, I would say, the bad treatment of you know, whether it's a woman or a man, either way. But it does invoke this imagery here of being unwanted, being neglected, of being unappreciative. And I like the fact that what she describes here, she gives us the whole insight there. This is like another episode of a diary here, giving us insight, tidbits, details of what's going on in her life there. And I like the fact that it ended with these two lines. He underestimates cause and effect. His shadow will hang and scare him to death. It really does speak with power there in the end.
Great comment. Thank you, Frank. Okay, Pam, I have the next write-up, if you don't mind, please.
Absolutely, I'd be happy to. This is No Going Home by Gypsy Lady 13. And it goes like this. Do you think a mama robin could push her baby bird from the nest if her wings weren't strong enough to fly and watch her fall with glancing blows through the branches below to the danger waiting all around on the hardened ground? To that place where predators hunt with steely eyes lurking in shadows, looking to seduce innocence with fancy fruits, leading her long darkened paths until she can no longer see the light? Or do you suppose a young bird anxious to be her own, testing her wings, walks the wire and sells too soon, flying away on broken wings, singing songs only angels sing to serpents and to the moon, partaking of poison on her own, only to discover the price to pay for flying so high is much too high. And even if she asked her to, even if she begged, Mama will never be able to return her to the safety of the nest. End poem.
Beautiful read, Pam. And in the author's notes, it says, my adult daughter, whom I love more than words can express, battling addiction and begging to move back home. But I have to say no for my own sanity. God help us both. Yeah, that's tragic. You know, you can feel the angst of the mother in this poem and her bird leaving the nest too soon. And the danger that lurks on the ground is just palpable for sure. Wow, a haunting rite. What did you think, Bobby?
Haunting is a very apt description. This is great storytelling also, using metaphor to describe the familial situation between the mother and the daughter, and how she feels that her chick left the nest too soon, and unfortunately there's no welcoming her back. It is a sad piece of writing, very visceral, very evocative, and I appreciate especially the author's note down there that clarifies her storytelling. But this is a very emotional write, and I think a very courageous one for the author.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you, Bobby. And Frank, what did you think?
I'll be brief here. It's a very visceral piece, without a doubt. It really does encompass the daily struggles that a mother or a parent has to face when a loved one or the child make that, you know, ventures off, just like the chickadee or the chick make that. It's a very, very powerful piece there. And I do feel sorry if this is based on reality here. I do feel for her.
Absolutely. Thank you, Frank. Okay, I've got one more here, like, if we don't mind, everybody. This is by Rob Cohen, and he has a SoundCloud. There we go.
Turmeric in a time of panic. On sunflowers, bees, schizophrenics, and machines. Syphilitic pirates on board La Santa Maria carry the seeds of crux simplex-shaped olive trees, planting the alien species into aboriginal soil, roots robbing and absorbing minerals, once the food of rhizome roots. Dynamite sticks demolished mountains, covering eagle wings in soot, burning buffalo hide teepees, reducing pine and cedarwood to ash and a canvas shadow of distilled fumes. Marching riflemen and steam engines among the machines shipped in, fumigating bees and flattening sunflower gardens. Turmeric dyed the robes of those monks who stood on the line, side by side with cow and plough. The saline, woke eyes peeled wide. Plato's tree is identified by the fruit in the center of a thousand plateaus. Jazz found soul paradise on the offbeat road, bursting the wheel of revolution. Conveyor belt tracks and army tanks, crushed artisanal seashell and agit glass bead strings, shooting down crashing feathered jewelry with plastic pearl bullets from pigsties, harvesting heart rates and selling records to highest bidders in Cambridge watchtowers, hanging cartoon carrots ahead of origami carts, or steering the herd on railways leading to slaughterhouses, wearing wolfskin cloaks, mechanical kings with silicone scepters, rewrite and rewire the fiber of scripture, holding silk screens to funnel holy water, which may sour their sugar-powdered, vectored electric-delivered sermon. Only organless bodies dissolve the quervy prison cells into eggshells by their fluid state. They escape through cracks of woven, mummified vines, scaling the confines of map-drawn lines. Nomads unshackled by hierarchies, mobile to scatter seeds from gold and black wings, planting sunflower seeds in disease, steely gold, grey, dusty concrete cities. As the sun set over the Union Jack, a brighter sun will rise out of the black night.
Well, that was a beautiful read and an impactful statement on modern life and, you know, all the ills that have been done to natives and, you know, the settlement of the new land and all of its atrocities. I thought it was just beautifully done. What did you think, Pam?
Yeah, just absolutely intriguing imagery and metaphors. I like turmeric in a time of panic. The turmeric not only is used for dyeing, but it's also a well-known and natural antibiotic in many parts of the world. Just really a fascinating, thought-provoking write, and as you said, on so much of the downfall of a society. So very well done.
Well said. Thank you, Pam. And Bobby, what did you think?
I think it's a great piece to close your show with. It was dynamite. I love Rob's work. And Pam's right. It is an indictment on, quote, civilization and the way we treat Aboriginal peoples, end quote.
Well said. Thank you, Bobby. Okay, ladies, I'd like to thank you for calling in tonight to share your hearts, your minds, your voices, and most especially your time. Much love, poets. Good night, all.
Buona notte.
Buenas noches. Good night, Pam.